الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we were talking about the qualities of those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Ibad al-Rahman, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called as His slaves, meaning people who are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, that is not people of a particular race or a particular nationality or a particular caste or a particular color or a particular country. They are people who have certain qualities. No matter who they are, people with those qualities are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Last week we talked about the quality which is that people who stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sujjadan wa qiyama, in sajda and in qiyam. And specifically that refers to tahajjud, which is the salah, which is the prayer in the night, where a person stands alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The congregational prayer, the fard salah in the masjid, this is fard, this is something which is compulsory, and it is something which is the mark and it is the proof of our iman. It is the proof that we are Muslim. If I say I am Muslim and I am not praying, then there is no proof that I am Muslim, because Islam begins with what? It begins with La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Now if I say La ilaha illallah, I say there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and I don't pray, then where is the proof that I believe in La ilaha illallah? Because if I believe in La ilaha illallah, then I should worship Allah. I am saying there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, but when the time for worship comes, I don't pray, so then what does it mean? So therefore, the fard salah in the masjid, this is proof of our iman. But like anything else, you get a medal, you don't get a medal for doing your duty. You get a salary for doing your duty. You get a medal for doing something over and above the duty. And what is over and above the duty is the extra salah, is the extra prayer. And the best of that is what we do in the night, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the time for telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your story. That is the time for asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. That is the time for praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has given us. I think this is a very important thing that we need to do. We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given us. Today we seem to be living in a world which is so full of stress and so full of tension and all kinds of things from all over the place, that we tend to get focused overly on those things. And we say, see what is happening there, see what is happening in such and such a place, and see what is happening in this place and that place. My submission to you and my question to myself is, yes, we should see all of that, but how about seeing where you are? Alhamdulillah, where you are living in a tension-free environment, you are living in peace and harmony, and you are living in khair, and you are living without any problems. So, yes, by all means, look at what is happening elsewhere and try and help those people who are in trouble. But how about thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are not among them? That you are somewhere else, that you are living, alhamdulillah, in a state where you can do whatever you like. You can have your careers and your jobs and your houses and your shops and everything else. Alhamdulillah, everything is safe. So I think this is very important for us to stay focused on the present and stay focused on where we are. That does not mean that we turn a blind eye to other people's difficulties. Of course not. That is part of our life. We must help them. But also it begins with feeling happy and good about yourself and saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me in a state where I am safe. And that is the meaning of salah. The effect and meaning of salah is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the connection that He enabled us to have with Him. You know, the beauty of worship in Islam is, worship in Islam is not something that was invented or thought about or created by somebody else. It is, worship in Islam is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how He wants to be worshipped. So you might have worship in a different form where somebody, and this somebody may be a great sage or a great, you know, scholar or something, and that person says that you should worship God in this way, and that is the best way. But if you ask the person, how do you know? What is he going to tell you? He'll say, well, you know, I feel this way. And because I have studied so many books and so on and so on, then maybe my feeling is correct. But he said, no, I'm not talking about maybe. I'm saying, do you know absolutely, certainly, that this is how God wants to be worshipped? What's he going to say? He said, I don't know for certain. I mean, I'm guessing. Maybe it's an educated guess. Maybe it's not a blind guess. Maybe it's based on, you know, whatever knowledge I have. But am I absolutely certain? How can I be absolutely certain? In Islam, that is not the case. If somebody says to me, why do you pray in this way? What is the answer? Because Allah told us to do that. Where did Allah tell us? He told us in the Quran. He told us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah. We have specific instructions about how it is to be done. Given by whom? By the one to whom it is addressed. So here is somebody who is saying, here is somebody who has to approve a permission for you. And this person says, I'm sending you a draft. Write it, sign it, send it back. That's it. It's as simple as that. Who sent you the draft? The one who is going to stamp it. The one who is going to give you the permission. So it's not somebody else who is writing a draft and saying, I think this will work. No. Here is the actual permitting authority who is saying, write it like this. Send it back to me and I will sign it. There's no uncertainty in that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah fard on us. Allah told us how it is to be done, what is the method to do it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who communicated that to us and he demonstrated it. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli wa kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray as you have seen me pray. He trained them. And he said, pray in this way. So when we say La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah is proof of La ilaha illallah. And the second part of the kalima is Muhammadur Rasulullah. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The proof of the kalima is Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. The proof of the second part of the kalma is that we pray in the way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. We pray because Allah told us. And how do we pray? The way Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. So prayer itself, the salah itself, the form of it, the fact that we do it at specific times of the day, and the way we do it, what we recite in it and so on. These two things are proof of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That is the reason why the Sahaba were all collected in their opinion that the one who has left Salah has left Islam. That the one who does not pray, there is no proof that this person is a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this very clearly in the hadith which we all know, where he said, Al ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. فَمَنْ أَرَضَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He said the distinguishing factor, the boundary between the Muslim and the non-Muslim, between us and those who are not Muslim, this is the salah. The one who has left the salah has denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why salah is a very, very critical and important thing, because this is the proof of our iman. If I'm not praying, then you cannot say that I am a Muslim. I have a Muslim name. I mean, look like, within quotes, what a Muslim is. I don't even know what a Muslim is supposed to look. What do you mean supposed to look like? Just having a beard doesn't make you Muslim. Wearing a turban doesn't make you Muslim. Having a beard and a turban also makes you sick. So what's the proof? Right? Being circumcised is not a sign of a Muslim. There's a friend of mine who's he's an American diplomat and he's Jewish. So he tells me the story. He said that he was in Uzbekistan or one of the Muslim Russian republics. So he said he was sitting in a village with a whole bunch of people and so on, and somebody asked him, he said, are you Muslim? So he said, no. They asked him, what are you? He said, I'm Jewish. So he said, what is that? Then one of them said, do you worship one God? He said, yes. Then they said, do you worship idols? He said, no. He said, are you circumcised? He said, yes. Do you eat pork? He said, no. The man said, you are a Muslim, you just don't know it. He said, you are a Muslim, you just don't know it. These are all elements of our aqidah. And as I mentioned to you, all of these elements are common with the Jewish people. We actually have, Muslims have more in common with Jewish people than with anybody else. But that does not make you a Muslim. What makes you Muslim is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu without partners and with worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that was taught to us by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, the effect of salah. Salah is supposed to produce an effect. And as I mentioned yesterday, if at the end of this we get up and say, well, okay, I just prayed, what was the effect? And if I can't answer that question, then what was the benefit of the salah? Alhamdulillah, the one benefit of it is that I was supposed to do something, I did it. But is it merely a matter of ticking a box? Or is it something which will do something else, benefit for us? Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, ke jab tak tumko is baat ka yaqeen na ho, ke tumhari namaz se dunyavi masail hal hote hain, tab tak tum namaz nahi padhoge, bolte. He says, until you are convinced that your worldly affairs will get sorted out and your worldly difficulties will be removed because of your salah, he said, you will not pray with regularity. Sadly, a lot of us, salah is a ritual to be completed. We make the ritual, we go home, alas. That is not what salah is supposed to be. That is not what salah is meant to be. And we are not using salah therefore. Salah is a tool. It's a resource for us to use in order to help ourselves in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Allah said, O you who believe, take the help of sabr, which means maximum effort, was-salah. Take the help of salah. So salah is something which helps us. So if I am praying and I am still completely engrossed in the world and I am still full of tension and I am still full of stress and so on, I must ask myself, what am I doing with this prayer? So it's not simply a mechanical exercise to be completed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the quality of salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to improve that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was witness on those, the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who prayed. And this ayat in Surah Al-Muzammil, the last ayat of 20th ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil, specifically relates to tahajjud. Surah Al-Muzammil, as you know, is one of the first of the surahs to be revealed in Makkah itself. And it was revealed almost 12 or 13 years before the Fard Salah became Fard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stand in salah in the first year of Risala, in the first year of prophethood itself. And it makes eminent sense, because when does he need the help of Allah? Right now. He is doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not 12 years later. So Allah is giving him this help, Allah is showing him how to get this help. And Allah is saying, take the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need it now, take it now. 12 years later, when he went in Isra wal-Miraj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent down the first salawat as a reward. The first salah is not a burden. It is a reward. Allah sent this as a reward to include all of mankind. Whoever wants to talk to his Rabb, whoever wants to talk to his Creator can do that. How must he do that? Through salah. Through salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this as a reward to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to all the people who believe in him, all the Muslims of the world. But Salah as a tool, Salah as a resource, Salah as wealth, Salah as a means of getting the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came right in the beginning. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that in Surah Al-Muzzammil there are 20 ayat. She said the first 19 ayat were revealed. And right in the beginning, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil qum illa illa qaleela, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh you who are wrapped in garments and sleeping, stand up in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole night except for a little. This hukum came. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started praying tahajjud. The sahaba used to pray tahajjud with him. The last ayah, which I'm going to recite for you now, which where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am the witness to this. This ayat came 12 months after the first part of the surah was revealed. So 12 months was the tarbiyah period. It was the training period for the sahaba. Where for 12 months they prayed tahajjud like fard. There was no fard. This was the fard. They prayed tahajjud like fard. After 12 months, after a year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayat of rukhsa. And even in the ayat of rukhsa, you will see how, what kind of rukhsa. Allah didn't say, now it's okay, you're trained, so you don't have to pray. No. The rukhsa came only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to put a burden on the people. So if you make something fard, for which you have to wake up 1 hour before sunrise and do that on a daily basis, you know, I know how many people come for Salatul Fajr in the masjid. You know, and I know how many people come for Salatul Fajr in the masjid, even if the masjid is 100 meters from the house. Even if it is next to the house. This is our, you know, tragedy. May Allah forgive us for this. So if tahajjud was fard, now what would happen? So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this rukhsa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made tahajjud fard. And the sahaba prayed, and it is my iman and whatever I have read, no sahabi who prayed with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tahajjud ever left it. They prayed it all their lives. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed it all his life. For the Nabi alayhi salam, it was fard anyway. But for the sahaba for whom the rukhsat ayat came, they also prayed because they saw the benefit of it. And this is the beauty. Once you see the sweetness of it, once you taste the sweetness of it, once you see the benefit of it, then wild horses won't drag you from it because you know this is the benefit. Why would I lose it? Why would I lose it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthayil layli wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak. Wallahu yuqaddiru al-layla wan-nahar. علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فاقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and as I mentioned, this is the ayat of rukhsa, but see how Allah is mentioning it. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring the sahaba by mentioning and saying that he is the witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily your Rabb knows that you stand to pray at night, a little less than 2/3 of the night or half the night or 1/3 of the night, and so do a party of those with you. So Allah is now saying that I am witness for the salah of the Nabi alayhi salam and for those who prayed with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and so do a party of those with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures the night and the day. He knows that you are unable to pray the whole night. So he has turned to you in mercy. So what is the actual requirement? Pray the whole night. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't pray the whole night, pray a part of the night. But pray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He knows that you are unable to pray the whole night, so He has turned to you in mercy. So recite of the Quran as much as may be easy for you. Now, recite of the Quran refers to tilawat in tahajjud. So Allah says, in tahajjud, whatever you can do, as much as you can do, do that. Allah didn't say leave it. He says, do as much as you can do. You don't have to do it the whole night. But pray 2 rakat, pray 3 rakat, pray 4 rakat, pray 8 rakat. Pray whatever you can pray. And then Allah says, He knows that there will be some among you who are sick, others who are traveling through the land, seeking Allah's bounty, yet others fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recite as much of the Quran as may be easy for you and establish a salah. Iqamat as-salah. Establish a salah and give zakat and lend to Allah a goodly loan. Imagine, how can you give Allah a loan? What is the meaning of loan? First of all, what is a loan? A loan is something that you get back. You get a return on it, right? If I give you something and I say this is yours, that's a gift. It's not a loan. Loan is I give you something and I'm getting a return on it. And normal understanding of loan is what? Is if I give you something, what I get is more than what I gave you. That is the normal understanding of loan. In this world, lending money or something like this on interest is haram. So we're not talking about that. I'm just saying the linguistic meaning of loan is what? It can also mean I give you and I get the exact amount back. That would also be a loan as long as I'm getting it back. But usual idea, if you are lending money, usual understanding is what? That you get more than what you gave. So Allah is saying, give Allah a qardan hasana. Give Allah a good loan. What is this loan? This is what you are spending over and above zakat. Zakat is fard. But in addition to zakat, extra charity that you give, Allah says, this extra charity which you give, this Allah is going to treat it as a loan and Allah will return this to you much more than what you give Him. And I'm not saying that. Allah said, and give a loan and whatever good you send before you for yourselves, you will certainly find it with Allah better and greater in reward. يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ خَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ And then Allah said, and seek the forgiveness of Allah, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu doesn't take from anybody. Allah doesn't take from anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Allah calls to give. Allah calls to give. Allah doesn't call to take. When you come to the masjid, you don't make an offering. There's no offering. Allah calls you to the masjid for what? So He can give you. So when you come to the masjid, ask Allah for what you want, take it and go. Nobody asked you for anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa al-ghaniyun hamid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all that exists. All that we know and all that we don't know belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah is saying, give Allah a loan, Allah is honoring the people who are charitable and saying what you are spending in the path of Allah. Allah is going to treat this as a loan and Allah will give you much more than what you have given. That refers to in this life as well as in the hereafter. Sayyida Rabia Basariya rahmatullahi alayha, one day she was in her house and somebody knocked on the door. And when she opened the door, somebody says, so and so has sent for you this bread. She said, how many are there? He said, 9. Huh? She said, take it back, it's not mine. And she shut the door. So this man, now what does he do? So he knocked on the door again. She opened the door. He said, I have to confess. He said, my master sent 10 for you, but I was hungry, so I ate 1. So she said, that's okay, then you can give me. He said, no, but I want to know one thing. She said, what? He said, how did you know that it has to be 10? Because My master didn't tell you in advance, or, you know, there's no advance information to you and so on. He said, no. He said, I gave one piece of bread in charity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu asharu amsaliha. The one who spends or brings one good deed, I will give him 10 likewise. So I gave one roti in charity, so I expect 10. How can I take 9? These are people who are, these are the people who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was real for them. It's not a, you know, concept or imagination. No, no. Allah was real. If Allah says, I will give you 10, I'm going to take 10. I will not take 9. If 9 comes, it's not mine. Go take it away. I'm not going to say, no, at least 9 came. No, at least. This is not mine. I will not take it. Allah has promised me 10, so I take only 10. Allah promised me 1:700, so I will count 700. Then Allah said, I will give you without counting. So, alhamdulillah, that is more. Let it come. This is the whole issue of Islam is this. Islam is real. Islam is the worship of a God who lives, who exists, who is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. It's not a concept, it's not an imagination. It's not somebody or some thought that we created. We, Allah created us, we didn't create God. So therefore, when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us worship with that complete, total certainty that you are actually standing before the one who is seeing you real time right now and who is listening to you and hearing you real time right now. As I am speaking, my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is hearing what I am saying. As you are sitting here, Allah is seeing each and every one of you, and Allah knows you better than your own mother knows you, because Allah created you, your mother didn't create you. And Allah is the one to whom we return. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and these are all, when we talk about these numbers, these are relative numbers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah loves his slave, Allah loves his creatures 70 times more than their mothers. And that's why Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi, I've mentioned these stories many times before. I'm just telling you, it's good for us to remind ourselves. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi was dying. Last moments of his life, a friend came to sit by him. And his friend said to him, ya Sufyan, if Allah tells you when you meet him, I will give you a choice. Who must do your hisab? Who will take account for you? Should I take your account or shall I ask your mother to take your account? What will you say? So Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi says, I will tell Allah, ya Allah, you take my account. So his friend said, wallahi, I mean, Allah will take your account. What will happen to you? Your mother, she loves you. You know, you are her son. He said, no. He said, Allah loves me 70 times more than my mother. And Allah is al-Ghafur Rahim. He is the one who forgives. So let Allah take my account. Alhamdulillah. This confidence comes from action. This confidence comes from spending a whole life trying to meet Allah, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at the time of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, this gives comfort. And a person is able to say something like this. And that's why we need to concentrate on our today. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, those who taste the pleasure of tahajjud once, they do not need any reminders. And they do not need any encouragement. They don't need any convincing. They know what it means to be able to speak to the one who knows everything, but who still likes to listen to you. To ask the one whose treasures have no boundaries, and to thank the one to whom we owe every breath we take, every move we make, every action that has the potential to affect us, and the one to whom we turn to make tawbah before the time comes to meet him, Jalla Jalalu. Last Jummah, I asked you to make dua for two of my uncles who passed away. This Jummah, I have to ask you to make dua for two of our musallis, our brothers also who passed away. One is Javed Tumbi Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, and the other one is Sultan Salim Sahab. Both of them used to pray Jummah here. Javed Bhai used to sit in that corner, on that second row in the corner chair there. I remember he and all the four Tumbi brothers. So we had a joke. Every time after we finished Salah, he would wait. And as we were going out, you know, we would embrace. So I used to tell him, I used to meet the first one, I said, ek. Then second one, I said, do. Then third one, teen. I said, char. So I used to tell him, now char, me mano ko galle milata, mere paise aate aaj. I used to tell him that. He used to laugh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill both their khubur with noor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them jannatul firdaus ul-ala bi ghairi hisab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and grant them plenty in the akhirah the way He granted them here and more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give sabr to Jahid Bhai's daughter who is there and to Salim Bhai's family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them sabr. My brother here, Babi Zafar Ansari, was telling me, he said, every time in Ramadan you say that I don't know if this is my last Ramadan. Because every Ramadan, we remember those who were with us the previous Ramadan and they were not in this Ramadan. Same thing applies, that these people were here with us this Ramadan, but did they know that this was their last Ramadan? Did they know that this is going to be my last Ramadan? So this is the issue. I am praying now. Do I know whether this is my last salah or not? That is why Rasulullah said, pray every salah as if it is your last. Because one day, it will be your last. Some Ramadan will be the last. No, I mean logic. We just don't know that. So if Allah gives me a Ramadan, if Allah gives me a salah, if Allah gives me an umrah, if Allah gives me the opportunity to stand in the night before Him, and I don't take that opportunity, and then Allah calls me, at that time regretting and saying, oh, I wish I had done it. Makes zero sense. Because we knew that this day will come and that day is the most beautiful day in the life of a Muslim. The day a Muslim dies on Iman is a day of great rejoicing. It is not a day of crying and mourning. It's a day of great rejoicing. It's Alhamdulillah, he is free from tests. Alhamdulillah, he is successful. Alhamdulillah, he has gone to his Rabb. And what he expects from his Rabb is only goodness. And Allah will give that in keeping with his majesty and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of you inshaAllah. And all those who have gone ahead and all those who are to come. And I remind myself and you, let us make the effort. Because only effort results. Only effort has results. Not just knowing something, but acting on something, doing something. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. And to live our lives according to the blessed sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.